Okay, check this out. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, at a Diamondbacks game, this fan had a ball in his hands and just couldn't pull it down. Yeah. What do you think about that?
Wearing the yellow shirt, everybody could see him.
I know. That move right there is what Knick fans are doing right now. Just, oh, no. Oh, no. What are
this
we
is
doing?
Where everybody in the stadium's like, yeah, that guy in the yellow that we can see from 200 yards away.
Yeah,
that's the
bright,
guy who dropped
a bright him. Yellow shirt.
So instead of big bong, it's going to be this? Is that where we're going?
He was already upset before he knew he was going to be on national TV. He's like,
That's a tough hit.
I know. And we find out he's from Queens. I'm making that up. I don't know where he's from. But anyway. Oh, boy. Yeah, that's how we start off. Welcome back to Get Up. Coming to you live from the Seaport. And we are brought to you by Chase, Tim Bontemps, Brian Windhorst, here to talk some NBA. So, Bianna, let's get right to it and get up with Kyrie Irving. He opted back in with the Nets. But is it all sunshine and rainbows in Brooklyn? Maybe not. And speaking of not really being sunshine and rainbows, Baker Mayfield and the Browns, definitely stormy. Why the Cleveland quarterback gave another clear signal about where he stands. And Patrick Mahomes knows he played poorly in the AFC title game. Why everything he's done since could mean nightmares for the AFC this season. But first, we start with the NBA, the offseason, barreling towards free agency. Today, big decision day looming for James Harden. He needs to make a decision by 5 Eastern on whether he's opting in or out of his $47 million contract for next year. One player who did opt in ahead of today's deadline was Lakers guard Russell Westbrook, the 9-time All-Star. Signs up for another year with LeBron and the Lakers at a price of $47.1 million. And of course, as a reminder, the first domino to fall in free agency, Kyrie Irving. He told the Nets on Monday he would also opt in and stay with Brooklyn through next season. Now, earlier today, Adrian Wojnarowski joined us and had this to say about Kyrie.
Teams are going to continue to touch base with Brooklyn to make sure that they plan to keep this group together, that they plan to continue to build a team in the offseason around them, and that's what the Nets plan to do. But I think there's going to have to be a point here, either through free agency or in the offseason, where Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant really start to reengage with the organization, with their teammates, with their coaching staff, and really start to do some team building for an organization that still very much has the talent to compete for a championship.
Very interesting the way he put it. Wendy, tell us why this Kyrie situation may not be over.
Well, I think one of the most important things that's happened there in this whole offseason was when Sean Marks came out after the Nets were eliminated in the playoffs and said, we want to be different next year. We want to have guys that are selfless, they're team first, and available. And essentially what the message was, we are not going to be accepting the status quo. So when Kyrie Irving announces, I'm coming back and I'll see you in the fall, that's not the message that the Nets want to hear. They don't want to hear that it's just about, we're going to run this back. This isn't just about the vaccine mandate. It's not just about the contract negotiation. It's about where Kyrie is and how he wants to operate on that team. His last statements were, me and Kevin are the general managers, okay? Mm. So what the folks in the league that I'm talking to are saying is, all right, the temperature is turned down. We're not going to see drama this week with the start of free agency. But we're not yet sure that this is a marriage is going to hold together. So wait and see.
Wow, wait and see. Can you imagine, Tim? What do
you think?
I
can imagine. It's everything with Kyrie Irving is wait and see. But to Brian's point, this was a big step forward for the Nets because they began to reset the power balance, right? This isn't something you can do overnight. You've said a bunch of times, is Kyrie Irving going to change? Well, not overnight. It's certainly no chance is that going to happen, right? But in this circumstance, he stared down the Nets and he lost. So however you wanted to frame it, and you know, I'll see you in the fall, this was about him not getting the max contract he wanted, whether it's from the Nets or from someone else. So it's all right, I'll take my money now, I'll figure it out later. And for the Nets, what they have to figure out later is getting Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and everybody else on the same page.
But how do you do that? How do you do that, Wendy?
Well, it starts with Kevin Durant, because Kevin Durant for the last 3 years has generally been a supporter of Irving, a ratifier of him, a backer of him. He hasn't been someone who's held Kyrie accountable. And the Nets haven't either. Steve Nash hasn't, Sean Marks hasn't, and Joe Tsai hasn't. So, okay, Sean Marks and Joe Tsai are now beginning to try to hold Kyrie accountable by not bowing to his contract demands or his trade demands. Now, is Kevin Durant willing to hold him accountable? Where is Kevin Durant on this? The only thing we've heard so far is what he said on the podcast earlier this week, his podcast at the boardroom, where he said, I'm stepping back. This is between them. That's not what the Nets want. The Nets need Kevin to be invested. And I will just say, again, dealing with Kevin over the years, I know that he doesn't like it when somebody says what he should feel, what he should do. That's not just in the media. That's also within the teams. So it's really going to be incumbent on Kevin himself to recognize the situation and deal with it. Because if he goes like this, I'm not sure if anything's going to be different with the Nets.
Well, and let's be crystal clear. The reason we're talking about Kyrie Irving like this is because of the relationship between him and Kevin Durant. The fact that nobody was interested in the sign and trade for Kyrie Irving other than the desperate Los Angeles Lakers is a sign of everyone looking at it saying, we don't want to deal with Kyrie Irving over the long term. The Nets have to because Kevin Durant wants to, right? That is what this is all about. So really, as Brian said, this is about the relationship between Kevin and Kyrie and the relationship between the two of them and the Brooklyn Nets. That is what this is all about.
Here's my problem with all this. Take it away from Kevin Durant and Kyrie. Where do the Nets stand in all of this? Because in every situation I've ever seen involving superstars, when you treat them one way and you allow them to do things one way as the owner, as the person who runs the team, and then you come back and you say, well, now I need you to do it differently, it doesn't work
that
out.
That is why my phone was blowing up the other day saying, this ain't over. Mm. I was saying, okay, thank goodness. We can move on to James Harden. We can move on. And the executives that I deal with and the agents, they were going, this ain't over for that exact reason.
Do you think he will be a Net? Is there a 100% chance he will be a Net at the beginning of the season, Kyrie Irving?
No, it's not 100%.
Okay. Do you think he will be a Net?
As of today, I think that's what everybody is going to try to make happen.
Okay.
But as Woj said, some things have to happen. They are not, at least their position, the Nets' position today, they are not going to try to run this back if it's the same situation as last year.
Do you think that Kevin Durant will want to be on this team if it's not succeeding, if it's not this wildly successful championship contender?
Well, Kevin Durant signed a four-year contract extension last year.
With no opt-out.
That's right. He showed his commitment to the Nets long-term. I think the question is, I think it's less is it whether he's going to want to be there if it's not wildly successful. Is he not going to want to be there if Kyrie Irving is not there with him? That is, again, what this is all about. I think if the Nets could know Kevin Durant would be happy and they could have sent Kyrie Irving anywhere, I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to do that. But that, again, that is not what this is about. This is about the two of them together. That's what it's been about from the moment they agreed to come to Brooklyn 3 years ago. So that is really the question is, as Brian has said a couple of times, are the two of them ever going to separate, or is Kevin going, you know, are they going to move forward together with the Nets? That's what it's all about.
And if the Nets reach a point where they go, this is not working, we're running it back again, and this is not working, and they start to reevaluate whether they want to keep Kyrie, is Durant stay invested, or is it a situation where if they move one, they have to move the other?
Okay, there's a lot of ifs here, so I want to get a firm answer on one thing. Championship team, these Nets as currently constructed, do you see it?
I see the potential for it, but as we've talked about a bunch of times, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, for all the talk about the relationship, they played 58 games together, including the playoffs, over three seasons. If they can do that this season, they can match that number.
I'll give you a firm answer.
Yeah.
This team has the talent to win a championship, but they've shown nothing else that's required from a championship team.
What do you mean by nothing else?
Chemistry.
Availability.
Accountability. Availability. They've had none of that.
Yeah, the talent is unquestionably there.
The talent is absolutely championship level.
Wow.
As Brian laid out earlier, Ben Simmons, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Joe Harris, Seth Curry. Good luck guarding that team.
And picks they can trade and other young players. They're actually in way better position now than they were a year ago when they had the vaccine mandate and Harden was out of shape. I think they're in great position, but I can't tell you for sure that it's going to work.
I just don't know how they put the genie back in the bottle with whatever expectation they have.
You
in
are
terms
not
of
alone.
Getting, yeah, exactly.
Well,
I guess
also,
that's why your phone
and
is
again,
blown
for
up.
All of that, for mm-hmm. all of the stuff that they have done in terms of not being in control of the team as far as the organization goes, they were this far on Kevin Durant's foot away
that's
from
true.
Potentially winning a championship 2 years ago with all of that going on, even still, with injuries, with everything else. So the talent is unquestionably there.
That's true. I got to say, in all of this, my eye is more on the Nets and how they move forward than it is on KD and Kyrie. I know it's easy to put it on those two guys, but in the end, you own the team. You coach the team, Steve Nash. They're the ones who have to do the work and get them all on the same page. Well, coming up, Baker Mayfield. He is not on the same page with the Cleveland Browns. And yesterday he spoke and he made it clear how he views his relationship with that team, what he said, and what happens now. And is there a scenario where James Harden could actually opt out and stay with the Sixers? Huh? Yeah, we promise to explain that when we come back.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Let's take over to Wimbledon, where Serena Williams had a rough first round facing Harmony Tan, ranked 110th in the world before this match. First set, Tan with a set point, 6-5, and Tan gonna crush the forehand on the passing shot right there. Fired up as she takes the first set, 7-5. Serena a little frustrated second set, up one love. Nice little volley there for the winner. She takes the second set, 6-1, to send it to a deciding third set. Tiebreaker, Serena volleying back forth, rushes the net, and look at the drop shot winner. Serena on a roll. Later in the tiebreaker, Tan up 7-6, and Tan moving well with the forehand winner right there. Fans getting worried for Serena. Match point for Tan. She's up 9-7. And Serena's forehand goes into the net. Tan can't believe it. Upset Serena Williams in the first round in three sets. 7-5, 1-6, 7-6. And for Serena, this is an historic defeat, as it's just her third loss in the opening round of a major in her entire 25-year career. Including yesterday, she's now gone 14 consecutive major starts without a title, the longest streak of her career. At age 40, she'll have to see if she can recover to play the U.S. Open at the end of August. Now let's go to Cleveland, where a strange Browns quarterback, Baker Mayfield, spoke on Tuesday. He addressed the state of his relationship with the team. And while he did not completely rule out the possibility of a return, folks, just doesn't sound likely. Take a listen.
I think it's been pretty obvious the mutual decision on both sides is to move on. You know, I'm thankful for my 4 years in Cleveland.
But I think a lot of people think if they didn't have a quarterback for the next year, would there be any chance of reconciliation there?
No, I think for that to happen, there would have to be some reaching out. But we're ready to move on, I think, on both sides.
I like how he has said some reach out. You know, like a little smirk, a little glint in his eye. Okay, Baker. K-Mar, what more can you tell us about Baker Mayfield in this situation as training camp fast approaches?
It's just so ridiculous. The Browns literally have three other quarterbacks since you were on the team, since they made this decision with Deshaun Watson, and he's still saying, you know, if there's a reconciliation. Look, Never say never. There is a scenario in which Baker Mayfield could still be a Cleveland Brown come training camp, come week one. But it's very small. The likely option is that he will be traded. That's the expectation. The Browns have been in contact with teams this whole offseason. Teams know that he's available. I think there are different inflection points throughout a season where trade talks intensify. So you're talking about during the draft. And I was told day two of the draft, Cleveland and Carolina were on the phone talking about trades. And then you have the start of mini camp. Then you have training camp. So right now, this, we need to keep an eye on training camp because that's the next inflection point. And that's when I think we could see a trade possibly happen. And my bet is that it will be to Carolina.
Okay, so we'll keep an eye out for training camp. Now, Acho, I'm guessing there's some Cleveland fans out there who are saying, look, you never know what could happen. Maybe there could be that reach out. And then Baker could come in and play if we need him like that. How do you see this playing out?
Hey, you see the way I'm laughing at that comment? That's the way that Baker's laughing at this idea. There's no way that he goes back. Baker felt disrespected, right? Like back in March, he said, on the podcast, he said, man, I was told one thing by the team and they did the complete opposite. I was told I'm going to be here. I'm going to be the guy, whatever. And they went and they traded for Deshaun Watson as they're telling me that they want me to be the guy. And so there's a level of disrespect that has happened, that has occurred, that at this point is insurmountable. And so if Cleveland ends up in a bad situation without their starting quarterback in Deshaun Watson, Baker Mayfield is not going to come back and be the hero or the savior for the organization that spurned him.
Okay. And then, Kmart, you mentioned Carolina, but what kind of boggles my mind a little bit is if they do want to bring him in Carolina, don't they have to do that pretty soon? Because he's got to get in there. He's got to learn the playbook. He's got to be a guy that they can actually use, but you can't do that if he's sitting in Cleveland.
Yeah, you know, Baker even talked about it. There's some frustration that it hasn't happened yet. I think this is one of the elephant in the room, one of the worst kept secrets that Carolina is interested in Baker, has been interested in Baker. I know there's talk about Seattle, but Carolina, that's a team that we have to be watching. And I think with Baker, unfortunately, it's not the easiest situation because of the guaranteed money we're talking about and the draft picks that would need to come back in return. You know, it has to make sense for both sides. Cleveland isn't going to give him away for nothing. And then Carolina also has to then negotiate, or another team would have to figure out the contract. And Baker can ease the situation by agreeing to less money. However you set up your contract with the new team, you can take less now. So there are other things that have to be worked out before this could actually be finalized.
Yeah, a lot. And Cleveland's leverage is not exactly at an all-time high in this one. So, Acho, where do you see Baker fitting best? Where do you think he might land?
I like Carolina. Why? Because Matt Rhule is 10-23 as the Panthers head coach in the last 2 years. That's not very good. If Matt Rhule continues on that trend, he's not going to be an NFL coach in a couple years. Right now, with starting quarterback Sam Darnold has won 9 games last year with Carolina, then 9 games the year before. Baker Mayfield had a torn labrum the year last year. The year before, 26 touchdowns, less than 10 interceptions, playoff win. And so I think Carolina is a good fit for Baker Mayfield. Obviously, Seattle could work as well, but I think Carolina is a better fit.
Okay, we'll have to see how this plays out. I'm sure Baker is chomping at the bit as well, hoping it plays out soon. Now, let's keep it in Cleveland. Deshaun Watson, his hearing before the NFL and NFL Players Association's jointly appointed disciplinary officer, Sue Robinson, will resume today. Watson has been accused by 25 women of actions ranging from sexual assault to inappropriate behavior during massage sessions. Kmart, want to bring you back in. What do we know about this hearing and this situation?
Ryan, what we know is that it's not over, but we assume we're nearing the finish line. You know, yesterday concluded day one. Day two continues today. This hearing could possibly go into tomorrow. It's very tight-lipped with this closed-door meeting. You've got Watson in the room, Sue Robinson, the jointly appointed disciplinary officer. You've got the NFL lawyers. You've got Rusty Hardin, Watson's lawyer, and Jeffrey Kessler, the lawyer that was brought in by the union. All these people are inside the room, and how long this all takes depends on how long everybody's arguments are, whether Sue Robinson has more questions, needs more information, and of course, whatever discipline she then suggest that can be appealed. But we're expecting that the NFL is going to argue that Watson should be suspended for at least a year. And then we expect the NFLPA to argue, well, hold on a second, two grand juries declined to press criminal charges, and also the NFL's punishment of violations of the personal conduct policy have been inconsistent to date. So that's where we have it, Ryan.
Okay, and I know you outlined some of this and some of the things that she's going to be looking at and considering. Any sense of a timeline of when we might have when we might find out what happens?
Yeah, so Watson and the Browns and everybody involved expected that this would hopefully be wrapped up by training camp. But again, this is a new situation. This is uncharted territory for the league with a jointly appointed disciplinary officer. This first time Sue Robinson has had to hear a case and then give her suggestions. So we are definitely unsure as to how long this could all take. But again, this seems to be the final step towards the resolution.
Okay, and we shall see when the decision comes down and what happens from there. Kimberly, thank you so much. All right, over to baseball. Interesting night. We'll call this the toss of the night, shall we? Yankees hosting the A's. Bottom first, no score. Aaron Judge at the plate, 2-2 count. Frankie Montaz, look at that. The strike, getting Judge looking. Aaron Boone not liking that. Pretty close call there. Third inning, Yankees down 2-0. Judge again facing Montaz, looks low again. Stu Sherwater behind the plate calls a strike. Boone saying, wait a second. Bottom eight, same score. Judge up again, this time facing Sam Selman. Oh, that's a close call. That's a close call. And Judge, watch him. He's like, you gotta be kidding me. Boone on fire, shouting at Sherwater. Boone tossed from the game. He's like, nah, man, that's not it. I'm gonna come out to confront you. I'm gonna get my money's worth before he exits stage right. Ninth inning, Yanks up 2-1. Two on, two out for the A's. Clay Holmes looking to close. And Holmes gets Tony Kemp to ground out, short to end the game. And the Yanks get the 2-1 victory over the A's. Well, things are looking good for the Yanks despite those questionable calls. They've been around for 120 years, and this season, their 75-game start of 55-20 tied them for the second best in team history. All the other teams on the screen who've had similar starts, the Ruth Yankees of the 20s, the 98 Jeter team, they all won the World Series that year. A sign of maybe good things to come this year for the Yankees? We shall see. Well, coming up, Wendy's been hurting and really talking up a storm about a whopper of a trade involving Russell Westbrook and Kyrie Irving. Now, if this sounds a little bit crazy, don't blame Wendy. He's just the messenger. You'll hear it and understand what I'm saying coming up. But first, sneaky Hembo time. James Harden, who we're going to talk about as well, one of two players in NBA history to average 30 points three times and 10 assists three times. Who is the only other player to do that?
Not necessarily the same season.
Tim and Wendy on it. Oh, nice little wrinkle there.
We're going to negotiate. I think these guys are going to get it. That's why he's sneaky Hembo.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to this one. Let's see if two guys can beat Hembo when we come back.
Probably not.
On Get Up.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Welcome back, and let's play a little game of NBA right or wrong. I'll give you guys a scenario. You'll tell me if it's right or wrong. So, Tim, DeAndre Ayton is done with the Suns.
My guess is done. You don't see Monty Williams say anything even remotely close to negative about somebody when he said it was an internal issue. When DeAndre Ayton got benched for the second half of that Game 7 loss, it felt like a final statement on his tenure in Phoenix. And he's going to be one of the real interesting guys to watch in free agency, see what happens with him, assuming he goes elsewhere.
Yeah, where will he go? Will he get a max deal? All big questions for him. Wendy, Kyrie will be a net 1 year from now.
No. I just don't. I just can't. I mean, on June 29th, maybe he's finishing out the last moments of his contract, but I don't see that as a long-term solution. I think everyone's just hoping to get through next year, but good luck betting on what's going to happen with Kyrie. I wish everybody
The only right answer with Kyrie is maybe.
All right, so Wendy, we'll keep it with you. LeBron will extend his contract with the Lakers in August.
I know
right
this
or wrong.
Right or wrong, I don't know. And I'm not sure it's been totally decided within the LeBron camp either. I feel confident the Lakers are going to offer him an extension. We got 6 weeks between now and when he can even consider it. So I'd love to be able to give you a strong, solid answer here, but I don't think it's been decided.
Well, and part of the calculus is even if LeBron wants to come back, right? The Lakers, as we've talked about a bunch this week, do not have a lot of flexibility. LeBron could maybe opt out and give them a little more flexibility than extending for a huge number with Anthony Davis on a huge number.
I'd be interested to see if he'd be willing to do that, given all that he's had to give up with that
for
team.
For sure. But
he's a billionaire now, Ryan.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I guess a couple million doesn't matter.
And if it gives him a chance to win when they don't have one, I mean, it's at least something that's part of the calculus. There's a lot of things at play there.
Okay, so I want to get to this. Wendy, we've been talking about this before the show, during the show, about a potential trade proposal for Kyrie that an NBA exec brought up to you. So you're just the messenger.
It's not just an NBA exec.
Okay.
Multiple.
Oh, okay.
So obviously when Kyrie opted into his contract, it looked like he closed the door on the Lakers. Like that, and then the Lakers' dream of getting a potential Hall of Fame player for $6 million still in his prime died. And that was obviously very sad for Laker fans. If the Kyrie reunion coming back to the Nets hits some bumps, and they explore the possibility of, you see, I said if.
Mm-hmm.
There's people in this league, agents, executives, believe that talks with the Lakers could be restarted. And so you say, well, how can they possibly get him? Why would the Nets ever consider taking Russell Westbrook for Kyrie Irving? Why would the Lakers consider paying draft picks? And the reason is because in a potential trade like this, the Lakers would save $11 million in actual salary and potentially up to $30 million when you include the luxury tax. So right there is enough as a reason to include potentially a first-round pick in the deal. And if this were to happen in the offseason, the Lakers would potentially be able to have some more flexibility with other salaries. So I am not going to sit here and tell you that I think that this is going to happen in the next 2 days. Mm-hmm. But If the Nets don't get to a place with Kyrie Irving where they think that things will improve, I think they could revisit this. And depending on what else the Nets might be looking at, I don't think it's impossible that this could be looked at down the line.
I mean, so Brian, the proposal, I just want to clarify this. The proposal is this: Kyrie Irving for Russell Westbrook and
draft compensation.
And we're talking about one or two first rounders?
Let's negotiate. I mean, you know, because it would save the Lakers an extraordinary amount of money. There's value in that.
Just the mere thought of this is mind-blowing. Mind on so many levels. Tim, would Durant play with Westbrook? How would Westbrook fit in all this? Would the Nets do this? Would they even be a contender after this? Please.
If Brian's saying that the Lakers would save money so they have to include draft picks is the laughable part of this. I understand where executives are coming from, given that the Lakers are the only team interested in trading for Russ. The Lakers would have to do this because they are a desperate team that has no other way of competing for a championship than if Kyrie Irving, as you said, a potential future Hall of Fame player, falls in their lap because of how ridiculous the situation is with the Brooklyn Nets. They would have to offer multiple picks. They'd have to offer Russell Westbrook. They would have to.
But would
to
the
do
Nets
that.
Take this deal?
No. The Nets would not have interest in this deal. And the reason why
today they wouldn't.
Listen.
But let's see what happens with Kyrie.
As Adrian said earlier, if the Nets get to a point where this Kyrie thing blows up, the fact that he's on a 1-year deal is going to bring a lot more people into play than just the Lakers, because you wouldn't be talking about necessarily committing to him beyond this season. So they wouldn't have to go take this deal with the Lakers. The other thing, as Brian's talking about, it would save the Lakers a ton of money to do this deal. It would cost the Nets a ton of money to do this deal, right?
Which is another reason why there'd be draft compensation.
Well,
I mean,
yes.
I don't want to devolve into too hypothetical on top of a hypothetical, but you have to also realize that if you're going to trade for a guy like Kyrie Irving, you don't necessarily want to rent him if it's going to cost you stuff. So you want to, if you want to trade Kyrie, you want to maybe trade for him if he wants to stay.
Well,
which
I
is
think,
why.
But the issue is not a lot of people want to buy into Kyrie. I think teams would potentially rather rent. I mean, I think that is to me the appeal of this situation is you're not buying.
We
you
also,
but I have to say the other side of this on the Nets side is they're getting the expiring deal of Russell Westbrook, which is a value
and,
to them.
And
right?
they have the draft picks that they got from Philadelphia in the Harden trade, and they would have draft picks that they potentially would get from the Lakers that they could then reroute. It also may determine, Ryan, on what Russell Westbrook looks like this season.
Right.
How his situation develops in Los Angeles, because we have a team in Los Angeles saying, Russ, we want a different Russ next year. And we have a team in Brooklyn saying, we want a different Kyrie next year, both on big one-year contracts. And so if there's turbulence on either end, what the league executives are saying is, keep an eye on those two.
Real quick, does Kyrie want to be in LA right now?
I don't know what Kyrie wants.
Okay, what do you think?
I think Kyrie wants to be on a long-term deal with the Brooklyn Nets. That's what he wanted this entire time. The fact he opted in was because he couldn't get that. And everything else he was trying to do was secondary to that. That was his first thing. I want to sign with the Nets long-term. The Nets didn't want to do it.
Okay, but he might still want to be in L.A. I won't let it go. I don't know why.
Listen, I think Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant want to play together. I think that is what they, at the number one level, that's mm-hmm. what they want. That's why this whole situation has played out the way it has.
And this is what makes the NBA so great, that this could actually happen. And by the way, let's talk about James Harden and shift gears here. He's apparently been working out hard this offseason. Take a look at this video. Look at him saying, yeah, let's get at it. Running stairs, looking great. He's got a big decision today with the option decision coming up with the 76ers. And look, this is what Philly fans want to see. James Harden working out, getting in shape. But, Brian, what do we know right now about Harden and this contract option situation?
So we believe that James Harden is going to remain with Philly in a medium-term contract, probably not a 5-year deal, but maybe a 3-year deal, maybe a 4, depending on the guarantee. But I don't think we should assume necessarily that he's going to opt into that $47 million. And maybe this is one of the reasons why it's coming down to today's deadline. Philly needs to rebuild the depth that they lost in that trade. And if Harden is willing to take less than the max, which it appears that he is going to, he could opt out of that contract, lower his salary down from $47 million for next year as part of a new deal that guarantees him probably over $100 million. And then that would free the Sixers to use their full $10 million mid-level exception. They already made one move last week when they traded for D'Anthony Melton at the draft to support their bench. They could potentially look to sign a guy like P.J. Tucker, but to fit P.J. Tucker on their books, they're going to have to offload some money. And one of the ways they can do it is by Harden restructuring that contract.
See, I think it's fascinating because you're talking about all the parts they could bring in to make Sixers a better team, but I also hang on to the idea of a possible $100 million deal. And I can guarantee you there's people out there who are listening to that and saying, is James Harden a $100 million player?
I think when you look in today's NBA, he is a $100 million player. Now, the difference is 6 months ago or a year ago, he was looking at being a $250 million
That's
player,
right. Mm-hmm.
right? And that is not a conversation that anyone is having anymore. But if you look at sort of the going rate for aging starting point guards or aging good point guards, it's somewhere around, you know, $100 million, north of $100 million. Last year, Kyle Lowry got a 3-year deal for $85 million. Like James Harden a year ago, before he hurt his hamstring, was a guy who was in MVP conversations, was considered a top 5, top 10 player in the league. If the Sixers think he's going to come back and be anywhere between where he was this past year, when, by the way, he still averaged 20-10, and that player from 2 years ago, then yeah, he's 100% worth $35 million a year or so, which is about what I think this deal could average out at. But that's part of just you have to wrap your head around where numbers are going salary-wise in the NBA as the salary cap goes.
And I will say, Harden potentially doing this, if this is what he agrees to, is a real step forward in him trying to help the Sixers become a better team. Because when he first got traded, Philadelphia asked him to pick up this option, and he didn't pick it up because he was looking to squeeze every single dime. And after the way things
went, well, at the time he was saying, "I'm so busy with everything and getting traded, I forgot all about it." Basically, yes,
I was the one who asked him that question. It was an amusing answer.
Yeah, he was worried about switching his cable over, not about the $47 million guarantee. But now it's actually potentially positive that it worked out that way. And if Harden does take a contract that allows the Sixers to do this, it kind of changes the way maybe Philly fans should look at him. Maybe not only in terms of like his production, but also his investment in the team.
Well, certainly if it's to go get a guy like P.J. Tucker, remember, he has a long history with P.J. from Houston. Daryl Morey brought him to Houston, right? There's a lot of shared history there. So certainly it would be an interesting move if he does this to bring his old friend
back. And it's also, you brought up the same thing when you were talking about Kyrie. It's not just about the money. It's about what he's going to do now, what kind of person he's going to be. That's been the thing on James Harden. Houston didn't work out. Brooklyn didn't work out. It would show that he's trying to make Philly work out, which I think is very big. But let me ask this, because I know people are thinking it. P.J. Tucker from that old Houston team, Harden. There's a little bit of talk about Eric Gordon. Is that a winning formula for Philadelphia, bringing back the Houston 2015 team that couldn't win a title?
I voted for Joel Embiid for MVP. Mm-hmm. So I think this guy is at the top of the league, and I think Tyrese Maxey has huge growth potential. I think especially when he learns the nuances of the game. And they still have Tobias Harris, which they can use either in a trade for other players, or by the way, while nobody was watching and we were all just shocked at how bad Harden looked after the trade, Tobias had a real strong last quarter of the season that they can potentially build on there. So, I mean, in an Eastern Conference that doesn't have a standout team, Philadelphia is absolutely right there in the mix, especially if we see a James Harden that shows up that looks like the James Harden we saw in Brooklyn after the trade 2 years ago.
The Sixers last year lacked defense, athleticism, rebounding, and toughness. They traded for D'Anthony Melton at the draft. They add P.J. Tucker. If they do, that addresses all four of those issues with those two guys. It would be huge pickups for them. And I'm with Brian. You look at the East, these teams are really good. Milwaukee, Boston, Brooklyn, Miami, Philly, they all have flaws. The Sixers make these steps forward. They definitely have a chance to be at the top of the East.
All right, so we'll see. You know, hey, look, some hope for Philly, not so bad. Now, we're talking about Harden, so I want to go back to the sneaky Hembo time because you guys were talking to each other on the break, trying to figure this out. James Harden, one of two players in NBA history to average 30 points three times, 10 assists three times. Who is the only other player to do that?
Well, on our podcast,
I'll let you each get an answer.
On our podcast, The Hoop Collective, I had to take over the trivia question for Brian because he often forgot about it, so I'm going to answer this question. We did talk about it. I initially thought it might be Russell Westbrook. He didn't score enough. I'm going to go with Oscar Robertson as our answer.
Okay, collectively, that's what you're settling on.
I'm going to ratify Oscar Robertson.
You are correct!
Boom.
Oscar Robertson is the correct answer. Look at Hembo. Oh,
try again,
buddy,
Hembo.
Gotcha.
Try
I felt
again.
Good about that one. I told you.
I think Hembo was thinking we're talking so much about Westbrook that you guys are going to fall for it.
Bontemps and Hembo, that's a potential battle down there. Bontemps retains crazy stuff.
Hembo's like, bring it. Bring it.
Bring it to the pod.
Yeah, and by the way, talking about bringing it, how about this game, our next WNBA game, Saturday matinee on ESPN and the app. Diana Taurasi, Skylar Diggins-Smith, and the Mercury. They're in Chicago to take on Candace Parker and the Eastern Conference leading Sky. Coverage begins at 1 Eastern, noon Central. Well, look, the last time we saw Patrick Mahomes in a game, he lost the AFC Championship. Why his performance in that contest could mean nightmares for Chiefs opponents.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You ask and he answers. It's time for your favorite segment, Ask Acho. And by the way, people love this so much that the producers wanted to get involved in this one. So we'll start this one with a question from our fearless leader of our show, Pete McConville. Sam, he asks, how long should NFL training camps and the preseason really be?
I think they should be 4 weeks and you should have 3 preseason games. Now, this answer is different. I used to be on the NFLPA. I've heard guys that say, hey, we should get rid of the preseason altogether. But there are a very large number of players that want to play in the preseason games because it gives them an opportunity to showcase their skills in front of other teams.
Okay. Now, this one's from Ryan Saloff. You can only have one quarterback for the season. Bryce Young, Caleb Williams, CJ Stroud. Who ends up being the best pro?
So I'm going with Bryce Young. If I had to pick one quarterback, all these guys are elite. Trust me, like they all could have been Heisman Trophy winners. Bryce Young has an ability to be cool under pressure. I think it was the Auburn game last year. In the last minute of the game, he had his Heisman moment, drove 97 yards down the field, completed nearly all of his passes, and went on and won the game, the Iron Bowl. That's what I love about Bryce Young. Now, CJ Stroud, he puts up gaudy numbers as well. Like he'll put up 400 yards and 5 touchdowns at halftime. Caleb Williams is the most electric out of all the quarterbacks that we've named, but I like Bryce Young for the guy who I'm going to pick if I had to pick one.
Yeah, he's just special. People talk about his frame, but I think this guy's going to be amazing in the pros. Lastly, this one coming from Jonathan Fink, one of our guys. Look at this. Which current quarterback kept you awake at night before you faced him?
And this is easy. Aaron Rodgers all day, every day. Every day of the week that ends in Y, I'm picking Aaron Rodgers. He hasn't thrown more than 10 interceptions in over a decade. And so that's number one. Number two, let me just tell a story. We would literally put together a completely different game plan as a defensive line, outside linebackers, to try to contain him. That game plan rarely worked. Why? Because you have to stay patient against Aaron Rodgers. The only thing is, Aaron Rodgers will be patient against you as well. He will pick you apart with his arms, and then if you ever leave that B gap open, they call it the honey hole, he will scramble and either throw a deep pass for a touchdown or just run 10, 15, 20 yards for a first down.
God, you got a game plan together and it still doesn't work. That's greatness for you, and that's Aaron Rodgers. And by the way, speaking of greatness and quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes. Talk about feared. He's reached the AFC Championship game in all 4 seasons as a starter, but the Chiefs were upset by the Bengals to end last season. Now, Mahomes called the second half of that game probably the worst playoff football I've ever played. Acho, let me ask you this. Will Mahomes be better or worse, or the same maybe, without Tyreek Hill?
I think he'll be better. I really do. And number one, you have to go with the genius of their head coach, Andy Reid. Andy Reid's been doing this for a long time, going back to his Philadelphia days. He is a genius, number one. Number two, you say, okay, well, there's no Tyreek Hill. But there is a Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Marquez Valdez-Scantling was second in the NFL behind Tyreek Hill when it came to targets 40 yards down the field or more. And so you're losing a guy who's a deep threat. You're replacing him with a guy who was the number two deep threat in the NFL. Not to mention Travis Kelce, who's one of the best tight ends to play the game, right? So you think about it, everything that Kansas City used to do, they can still do with Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Offensive line is set. Obviously, running back is set as well. But I love the addition of Scantling to Travis Kelce.
Wow. Tyreek Hill's probably watching us right now saying, better. We'll see. Kmart, you talked to coaches all over the league.
He said Tua was better, so let him come on and talk about it.
There you go. Kmart, you talked to coaches all around the league, and I think part of the narrative around Mahomes is, well, maybe people figured him out a little bit last year. What do they tell you about Mahomes?
The idea that there's some blueprint that was figured out last year with Patrick Mahomes, I don't know why we want to write Patrick Mahomes off already. I mean, the dude is electric. He is still that guy. I think last year when I was talking to, I covered a lot of Chiefs games last year. I think if a blueprint had been figured out, I wouldn't have been covering the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game again. Granted, they didn't win, but I think the demise of the Chiefs is just always so overblown. And when defensive coordinators talk to me about how do you stop the Chiefs, they talk about Patrick. He's that dude. They talk about how their corners have to keep their coverage. They have to have eye discipline. They have to stay on their guys plaster because Patrick Mahomes never lets a play end. So yes, the big playability of Tyreek Hill will certainly be missed, undoubtedly. But you still have Patrick Mahomes. He is the guy in which the offense is generated and it flows. So I think he'll be fine. I really do.
Yeah. I mean, people were calling his 4,500 yards passing year kind of a drop-off year. If that's a drop-off, I want that guy on my team.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Now, Kimberly, I got something new for you. You're going to like this. It's a segment we call Acho Acho Man. We take a look at the trending clips, and our man Sam Acho interprets them for us. And Kimberly, you get it on this. Do you approve of Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s dugout workout? Short workout.
Hey,
I can't do that.
He needs more than just Kmart, you can do that. That's so easy. That's easy. He needs more than just three of those. Vlad Guerrero Jr., the abs aren't really sitting like they're supposed to. Give me like 15 or 20. Give me four sets of 20, right?
Hey,
get the legs
straight,
no knee bend. Go at home, do that. Your abs will start coming out like you want them to.
There you go.
I got the arm strength, but abs ain't where they need to be. So I'm gonna give him all the kudos for that.
He did have a walk-off hit, though. So what do you make of this Brewers home run celebration? What in the world? Thanos!
Gosh.
Yes. Is that McCutcheon? I don't know if that's McCutcheon. Yo, that is dope. The Thor, the rings, and then I love this. I'm all about it. I'm going to get one of these every time me and Kmart get on the show and I dunk on her. I'm going to put my thing out and be Kmart, what do you think about that?
That glove will be empty. You won't have any Infinity Stones, guys. Get out
you
here.
Got perfect comeback. And Acho, how about this guy's dance moves during a soccer rain delay?
You know what?
Yeah, subpar.
Subpar. Kmart.
Kmart.
Come on,
like
Acho.
Subpar.
Listen. I'm African too. Calm down. No, this is great. I love it because it's a rain delay. Have some fun. We are all excited. Let's go.
Kmart.
Let's go.
What?
I mean, if he didn't have the mask on, he wouldn't even be in this highlight.
He could be crazy.
Yeah,
he could go wild. You got a mask on. Nobody sees you. He's just doing this and doing this, doing this. You're not at the back of the club. It's not dark. Be free. Have some fun. Do the gritty. Do something. Yeah, I mean, this is like looks like Pete McConville dancing back there, one of our producers.
See, now you're not going to be on Get Up anymore. See, that's where you messed up. You won't be on Get Up anymore, sir. I love Pete.
Pete McConville wishes he could dance like this. Okay, Sunday Night Baseball matchup. Cardinals, Phillies, 7 Eastern, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, ESPN Radio. Our coverage begins 6 Eastern with baseball tonight, Sunday Night Countdown. Hey, by the way, Michael K, A-Rod, they're going to have their K-Rod presentation on ESPN2. Well, look, we've been talking the Nets, the Lakers, the NBA's most disappointing teams this past season. Which team has more holes to fill this summer? That answer on First Take following Get Up, top of the hour. UFC 276 Saturday night from Vegas. Another stacked card. Two title fights. Main card, 10 Eastern. Pay-per-view with the prelims on 8 Eastern. ESPN, ABC, and ESPN Deportes. To order the main card, go to ESPNPlus.com/pay-per-view. That's it for us. First Take starts right now.